I want to just say one word before introducing Brother Parson. To you that are unsaved, I want you to give him your full attention. I want you to think about your soul tonight as for eternity. No more procrastination because you don't know what tomorrow brings. Sometimes they sing a song, "Oh, why not tonight?" The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, "The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." Now, do you know what that's saying, unsaved friend? That's simply saying that if you don't get saved, you're the one that's foolish. And I don't think anybody wants to be called foolish. Certainly. I know you don't. So tonight, I remember, and I'll ask the congregation to do this. I remember going somewhere, can't remember now where it was, but it was the last prayer before I had to stand up to preach. And the fellow praying said, "Lord, make preaching easy for him." I'd never heard that. Now, you might not be able to tell much difference whether it's easy for the preacher or not, but he sure can tell a difference. And so I'd ask all of you to breathe a prayer to God. Make preaching easy for him. Thank you. Brother Kent Parson, pastor of...
Elkton, Kentucky.
Those people would be pleased to hear you give them... privilege of not having to claim me as their pastor up at Elkton, so that's all right. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes." He also said, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also." Now, I know sometimes you probably don't think so, but I preach with everything there is in me. I preach from my heart. I preach. One old preacher told me one time, he said, "You preach like you believe that." I said, "I do believe it. I believe it." I got a little nervous when Kenneth started to talk to you who are lost, because I thought, my goodness, maybe he's going to go ahead and use my text, then I won't have anything. And if that happened, I was going to start praying, "Lord, you just let him go ahead and preach the whole thing." This night, I want you to think about that, you who are lost, tonight. Most every one of you expect to go home from here tonight. If I were to ask to see a show of hands tonight, of how many of you think you won't go home tonight, I wouldn't expect to see one of you put your hand up, saved or unsaved alike. We're all expecting to go home tonight. Most have already got in mind what they're going to be doing tomorrow. But I want to tell you something, that there's not a single one of us who know for sure that we've got the next breath coming, let alone think about tomorrow. I want you that are lost to think about yourself, your soul, tonight. Brother Kenneth mentioned a while ago about people being saved tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, on out through the rest of the week. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe when a church is doing what they need to be doing and they're working for the Lord, that they'll see people saved throughout the year, and that they don't just have revival for people to get saved in, The first church had people saved every day. Every day. And we think, oh my goodness, what would happen if we were to have that happen? I'll tell you what would happen. There'd be such a strong spirit that most of us couldn't contain it. But for you that are lost, all you've got is right now. I was thinking as they were singing one of the songs, I wonder how many funerals that the two of us together have conducted over the years. And I would say probably, Kenneth, we could go over the thousands. Yeah, thousands. I don't mention that because that I enjoy that, because I don't. There are some that are easier to do than others, but the most difficult that I ever have to do is when I don't know whether the deceased went to heaven or hell, and I don't preach them either way. When I have a service like that, I don't preach them into heaven and I don't preach them into hell. I just have to say, I do not know, but God knows and they knew. But I can tell you this one thing this evening, that if you're here tonight and you're lost, God has granted you another opportunity to seek Him. And if He's dealing in your heart, and that's the only person that really counts as to whether they're dealing in your heart, is the Lord God Almighty and His Holy Spirit, then you need to listen to Him and you need to heed Him and you need to follow Him, that He can save you tonight. Not tomorrow, not tomorrow night, not next week, but tonight. I want to talk a few minutes about two men in the Word of the Lord who heard pronounced upon them the death sentence, and one of them is what I quoted earlier, "This night shall thy soul be required of thee." Tonight, your soul is going to be required of you. You're going to die, effectively, is what he was saying. I don't know when any of us are going to die. I know I'm closer to it than a lot of you are. My pastor used to say, whenever he'd got over 70, he said, "I'm living on borrowed time." And so I'm a little bit over on borrowed time. I've already lived out the allotted time of man, and God's been gracious to me and given me a little more time. But let me tell you something. In all of those funerals, I've also had to conduct from the very young to the very old. And don't you think for a second that you're exempt from this, because you're not. Every single one of us are going to die, and I believe there's an appointed time out there. I don't know when it is. I don't want to know. But there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to say, "Go get him." And there's going to come a time when he's going to say to you, to the angels, to come and get you. In the book of Luke, 12th chapter, I probably won't read it all to you. Well, I know I won't read the whole chapter to you. I wasn't even intending to do that. You can, now that's some of your homework. Y'all aren't going to have time to sit here and read the whole thing if you're paying attention to what I'm saying. If you don't, well, you'll be sitting there reading it, and you'll be reading about something else, and we'll hear what I have to say. Now, not that I've got anything to say that's that important, but sometimes the Lord's got something to say to you, and you need to listen to Him. Bible said, "And He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Very easy. You know, God's word is so plain and so simple that someone like me can understand it. I know you can. And so it isn't difficult for you to understand this evening, this particular portion of the word of the Lord. A man who had been very successful. Some of you are still young. You've not yet reached that point in your life to where that you could consider yourself to be successful. But I suspect that most every one of you, from the very youngest to the very oldest here, thinks you've got quite a bit of time left. And especially if you're young, you think, well, you know what? I've got lots of time, and so I can just kind of cruise along here, coast along, and whenever I finally decide that I want to be saved, I'll be saved. Doesn't work that way. Just going to tell you that for a fact. You can't just decide. I don't care how many other preachers you've heard, how many different churches you've been to, if they tell you that, they're not telling you the truth. You don't just decide. God makes that decision. You decide whether or not that you're going to come to Him, whether you're going to allow Him to save you, but He's not going to make you come to Him. We've all got our ideas about where we're at in life. Many of us up in my age group, you know, we've already had our careers and we've, quote, retired. People still ask me, well, are you retired? I don't know how to answer that. In some respects, I'm retired. In some, I'm not. This preaching, the retirement for me and it will be when that angel finally comes and takes me home. I just hope that God allows me to wear out instead of rust out. That's what I want. But let me tell you something this evening. I have no guarantee that I'll make it out of here tonight. I plan on it just like you do. But I don't know that. This man had, God had blessed him. He had plenty. His crops had been good. He had been successful. And so he began to think about what he was going to do with all this stuff. We all have lots of stuff in our homes. We have lots of stuff in our lives. And sometimes we get so engrossed in what we're going to do with all these things that we forget the most important thing is what are we going to do with the Lord? He said, you know, this is what I'll do. I'll just tear down my old barns. I'll build bigger and better. Now, I have to share with you a little experience along that line. And for you kids, I'm sure you can't relate to this, but these older people can probably. A couple of weeks ago, my neighbor had had the tornado come through. It came through our area and hit his property, missed mine, but it got one of these old big barns tore up some, and so he decided he was going to tear it down. Now, from ground to peak was over 40 feet. A 40-foot ladder wouldn't reach it. And so I said, I'll come over and help you tear that down. And my daughter, who's like an old mother hen to me anymore, got wind of that. And she called and she said, Dad, don't you be up on that ladder. I said, I won't be any higher on that ladder than I can reach on it. I didn't lie to her, Kenneth. But I didn't tell her the whole truth either. So maybe it was a lie. We got out there to the barn, and it had kind of a low roof on part of it. And I said to Bart, I said, Bart, let's put this ladder up on that low part, and then I can reach all the way to the top, 40 feet up. I can climb up the ladder. So we laid that ladder down on the roof, and I was able then to climb up there. What I didn't know was his wife was out there taking pictures. Yeah, and you know what she did? She put them on Facebook, and my daughter saw them. This old boy said, I've got barns, I've got plenty of food, I've got plenty of crops, I'm just going to tear these old barns down and build bigger and better. We're always wanting bigger and better. I want you to listen to what the Lord said to him. He said, and this is what I'll do then. I'll just kind of take life easy. I'll just coast along. Listen. But God said unto him, thou fool. You talked about the foolish while ago. Do you know God's the only one who's qualified to call anyone a fool? Yeah. And he says in his word, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool. I didn't say that. That's what God says. But God called this man a fool. He said, thou fool. Let me file it here. I know what it says, but I wonder if we shouldn't get it right. This night, Thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? This night. You've got all these plans, all these things you're going to do. Remember, I said here yesterday morning how I had all my ideas about when I wanted to get saved. And part of what I didn't tell you was that when I got to be an old man and got saved, I was going to come downstairs and say to my mom and my dad, I don't know why I thought my mom and dad would be still alive whenever I was an old man and got saved, but that was just kind of how I had in my mind, that my mom and dad would still be there, and I'd come down the stairs and say, Mom, Dad, I got saved, I'm going to the show. Now, why would you be, you see, that's how I think. I don't think like normal people do. Why would I think I just wouldn't mean any more than that than just to tell them I'd got saved and go out the door and go to the movie? Now, we call it a show up in our part of the country. It didn't work out that way. My mom and my dad, neither one with them. My dad had even been saved when I got saved. So if I'd have told him, and even when I did tell him, he didn't understand what was going on. He hadn't been saved himself. He got saved in that same revival. Now, we're going to go, what, four days and nights here? Three or four? That revival I was saved in went 2 weeks before anybody got saved. I had one person saved toward the end of the second week. It went 4 weeks, and there were 19 of us that were baptized that had been saved through that revival meeting, but all of them during the last 2 weeks. And I tell people every once in a while, they just look at me in astonishment, like, 4 weeks? My goodness. Well, we couldn't endure that today. We couldn't stand that today, you know. We're going to struggle if we make it through four. Let me tell you something. You who are lost, you may have ideas about when you're going to be saved, where you're going to be saved, how you're going to be saved. You better get back in and let God take control of it. And you better get down to business with him and say, tonight. Because he might just say to you, this night, the death angel is going to visit you. I hope not. I truly do. If God had to send one to do and take one out of this group tonight, I would want it to be me rather than you. I'll guarantee you that. I want you to have every opportunity to be saved. And you have that opportunity tonight. If God's dealing with your heart, if he's not, don't worry about it. He will. Some of you may still be young. Some of you, he may not have yet touched your heart. But I'm going to tell you this. You'll know when he does. I won't know. When I first started preaching, I thought, you know, these preachers, they'd all say, well, I can see they were under conviction. So I get this same idea, you know, you're going to look at them and tell whether they're under conviction, or you can tell whether they're lost or whether they're saved. I'm reminded of what the Lord told the old prophet when he said, I send you down to the children of Israel. They're rebellious and a hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. I send you down there, and you go down there and you preach to them, and you say, thus saith the Lord God. And whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, you go ahead and preach anyway. He said, be not dismayed at their looks. Every one of you ought to have the opportunity to stand up here at least one service and watch the congregation. My goodness, what you see from up here. There are times when I think, oh man, they're suffering. They're all hurting. I kiddingly said some time back that I know some of my people, they're praying for me because they're sitting there with their eyes closed. Be not dismayed at their looks. I can't look at you and tell whether you're saved or not. I cannot look in your heart. I'm thankful that I can't. But God can, and he does, and you know exactly where you are in his sight tonight. Now, very quickly, I want to jump over. See, God said to this man, you're foolish. You're a fool for the way you're thinking. The most foolish thinking that you could do would be to say, I'm going to wait until some other time to seek the Lord and do it on my terms, because you don't get to the Lord on your terms. You come on His terms. The reason being that His terms are perfect. His plan is perfect. I'm amazed at how many of us Baptists think that we've got to try to improve upon a perfect plan. You can't improve upon perfection, people. God teaches in His Word what His plan is. It doesn't need to have anything added to it, nor does it need to have anything taken away from it. It's perfect. And He is a perfect leader. Other man that I want to talk a little bit about this evening is a fellow that maybe you who are lost haven't heard of, the rest of these people should have. This guy's name is Belshazzar. And he's the king. And he decides he's going to have a party. Now, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to use some Parson paraphrase here. And so you can go over and read whenever you have time out of the book of Daniel in the 5th chapter. You can read this whole chapter and get this whole story. So I'm going to condense it. I'm going to paraphrase it, Parson paraphrase it, but you'll get the gist of it, and I will guarantee you that I'm not going to misrepresent it to you. This king decides that he wants to have a party, and he wants it to be a big blowout, and so he invites over 1,000 people to come. And it turns into an orgy. They're drinking, they're having fun, they're having a big time. It's a party like most of us have never been to. They're drunken. There are things going on there that each one of us would be critical of, and we'd say we'd be ashamed to even be a party to it. But boy, they were having a big time. Now let me tell you something, you who are lost. If you think for a minute that you're having fun now, you're just kidding yourself. Yeah. You may be like I was whenever I thought, well, the only reason I want to wait till I'm an old man is I want to go out here and enjoy life before that I get saved, because saved people can't do any of these things that are fun. That's not true. Our want to's change when God saves us. Yeah, some of the things I used to want to do, they never bothered me after I got saved. In fact, I didn't want to do some of them. You'll have all kinds of ideas. They say, you know what, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to live. I couldn't wait until I got old enough to get out of my father's house and get out of off of the farm and go to the good life. Never had an appreciation for the farm until after I was gone from it. I want you to know I grew up on a farm, a small farm. We were sharecroppers. I tell people all the time, we were the poorest of the poor. And they say, oh, yeah, that's something people say. I don't say it. I lived it. My folks never even owned a farm as I was growing up. I never had an indoor bathroom all the time that I was growing up, kids. Can you imagine how far back in the sticks I'm from? Yeah. A lot of things I didn't have. But I'll guarantee you this one thing. The Lord found me down there in the sticks and the hills and the rocks and the cuckleburrs of Missouri, just like He found you right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He knows exactly where you are, and you know exactly that He's dealing with you. This old boy, he's having this big party, and he's got all these people here, and hey, he remembers that whenever they had taken the children of Israel captive, that they had gone into the temple and they brought all of the vessels, the golden vessels, out of the temple. And he said, let's humiliate those Jews again. Let's humiliate those people that we've taken captive. Let's go up there and get those vessels and bring them down here, and we'll use them in our orgy here. We'll have them to drink out of. We'll insult those people even more. Anything he could do to make it bad for the Lord. And he said, we'll worship our gods with them. I can only imagine how those people who were down there in captivity must have felt when they saw them go up there and take those sacred vessels that were dedicated to the Lord and the Lord's service. how their hearts must have been heavy. Let me tell you something. I feel sorry for you who are lost. I do. I know what a struggle that is. I know because I was there. I didn't understand. That's what I try to tell people all the time. I try to tell Christian people, lost people don't understand what we're talking about. We're talking a language that's foreign to them. And most of our saved people can't understand that, that we just got to get to the point where we say to those that are lost, hey, listen, you're not going to know whether or not I'm talking about conviction, conversion, whatever, but what you do know is what you're feeling in your heart. And you know how God is dealing with you. I can't tell that. I can't describe that to you. But you know. And you know you need to do something about it. And I'm going to tell you that you need to do something about it now while you have the opportunity. They throw this big party and all of a sudden there's the appearance over on the wall of a man's hand that begins to write in the plaster. And buddy, let me tell you something. The atmosphere changed. From the hooping and the hollering and the drinking and the partying, when that hand appeared and wrote on the wall, the Bible says this old boy who was in charge of it, that his countenance was changed and his knees smote together. He became frightened. He was shaking. He was trembling. If you become a little bit frightened, if you become a little bit concerned, that isn't going to bother me near as much as if you just ignore the Spirit of God. You need to be frightened. You need to be afraid. People say, oh, don't scare them. I'm not trying to scare you. The only thing I'm trying to do is to warn you that you need to listen to the Lord when he's dealing with your heart. You need to mean business with him. And this old boy, then he began to try to find help. He was wanting somebody to tell him what this meant. He called in all of the wrong people. I went to the altar once, twice, three times. I don't remember how many times it was. Wasn't very many. But I tried everything I knew to do it. I couldn't get anything. I got mad at the Lord when I was down there. One time, pastor come along and he said, son, anything you feel like you need to do? I said, yeah, I need to pray. I need to pray. He was an old pro. He'd been preaching for a lot of years. He understood a lot more about it than I did. Well, he said, all of you people here in the church, he said, Kent feels like he needs to pray. Would you just gather here in the altar and we'll have prayer? Stuart, it seemed like they come for an hour. I know they didn't. But we get down there. He said, all right, go ahead. Now, I'm telling you the truth this evening. If my life depended on it, I could not say one word. Nothing come out. Not a word. Pretty soon, he recognized the predicament I was in. He went ahead and he started praying. And when he started praying, I was madder than hops at the Lord. Got all these people down here saying I wanted to pray and I didn't pray a lick. I was mad. I was mad at the Lord. I knew who had put the stop to my mouth. There wasn't anybody else that could. There'd been several who tried it a number of times. And I had a lot of scars to show that they had tried to do it. I said a lot of them, more than I'd care to tell about. Because I had a smart mouth and sometimes it got me in trouble. I never enjoyed a fight. I always hurt too bad. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we try everything we know to do, but we're trying the wrong thing. We're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to do it our way. We're trying to do it the way somebody else thinks we ought to do it instead of listening to the Lord. It is not difficult for the Lord to save you. It is not difficult for the Lord to save you. I want to say that again. Sometimes it's difficult for us to get to the place to where he can save us because we're trying to do things our way. Well, he called in all of the astrologers and the magicians and everyone else and said, what does this mean? They couldn't give him the answer. There are a lot of things that you could ask me and I can't give you the answer about. I'm not smart enough to know that much. But there's one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Yep. One thing I can tell you without any reservation whatsoever is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you, who will save you, and he will do it the moment that you come to him with your whole heart, your mind, strength, your soul, and your body. Promises that. Promises you that. And he never breaks a promise. They couldn't answer him. They didn't know what that writing on the wall meant. Finally, someone said, you know, there's an old prophet of God down there that we brought with us. And we know that in him is the ability to discern and know. And let's go get him and see what he says. So they go and they bring old Daniel up there. And Daniel says, I'll tell you what it says. King says, if you can tell me what it says, I'll give you a high position in my government. I'll clothe you with the best. I'll do all kinds of good things for you. Old Daniel says, I don't need those things. There are a lot of things in life that we don't need. There are a lot of things that most of us spend most of our lives getting only to leave them. I'm amazed at how many times people spend all their lives accumulating things, and when it comes time to take them down to the city of the dead, all we take is that expensive casket that the family bought them with some of those things that they had accumulated. Some of them don't get that expensive casket. Doesn't make any difference. I did a service here a couple of weeks ago. Good friend of mine who had been cremated. And I said, you know what? All they did was just hasten that process that's going to happen to every single one of us, that we're going to all go back to the dust of the earth. Now, I don't know what you think cremation. It doesn't make any difference to me. That's your, see, you're entitled to believe whatever you want. But let me tell you something. There's going to come a time whenever the difference is going to be in whether or not you've listened to the Lord and been saved or not. That's what's counting. All the rest of these things. Daniel says, I don't need you to reward me. But he said, I'll tell you what the interpretation of the writing is. And he did. He said, you know, the first part of it is this is the interpretation of the thing. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. That's the first thing. The second part of it, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Yeah. And the third one was, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, he got the interpretation of the dream. But you see, as much as, and I've heard preachers preach on this, and I've preached on it, and we use all of the words and everything. But the most important thing in this whole thing is to listen to the next one. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar the king slain. Yeah. Yeah. It ended right there. It was over. With all in a matter of a few hours that he had gone from being the king of the kings there, the greatest host that these people had ever seen, parting with the best of them, having a good time, enjoying himself, to hearing his death sentence pronounced upon him. Let me tell you something this evening. There is a death sentence pronounced upon each and every one of us. For some, it's going to be okay. For some, it's going to be okay. I tell people every once in a while that my guardian angels, I've got plural. Some of you may just have one. But it takes a whole flock of them to take care of me. But they're going to be so happy when the Lord finally says, go get him and bring him on home. They're going to feel like they're on vacation. But let me tell you something. When that time comes, I told my daughter recently, she said, Dad, are you doing okay? She said, I need to talk to you just a little bit. Just the two of us. And she said, I need to talk to you before I go back home. My daughter lives in Texas. And I told you yesterday or last night that she watches over me and checks on me every night, calls me every night, texts me every morning. But she said, I need to talk to you just a few minutes. And she starts breaking down and crying. And she says, now, I know that you'll be okay after it's over. But she says, are you all right now? I said, yeah, I'm doing fine. And I said, and I'll tell you what I pray for. I pray, and I know we don't always get our prayers answered the way we want them. But I said, I really pray that the Lord will just let me be out here on the little farm by myself, and when my time comes, go just like that. That's what I want to happen. I see so many other things. I hope I can do that. I hope I get that wish, but I may not. But I said, whenever that time comes, I want you to know that it will be all right. It'll be all right. Tough on her. Tough on maybe a few other people. But it'll be okay, because I'll have finished the journey down here. And the wisest thing that I've ever done in my life, and the best thing that I've ever done in my life, was listen to the Lord, that still small voice that spoke to my heart so many years ago, and allowed him to save my soul. That's what I want for you this night, because you don't have any guarantee that you're going to make it through the rest of the night. Not one of us do. Kenneth, Father, if you will, I'm through.